Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. Now, in this first half of the chapter, we have a number of reasons that Paul gives to show why the financial support of Christian workers is proper and according to divine pattern. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul discussed the right use of Christian liberty and the wrong use of Christian liberty. To hinder the spiritual growth of fellow believers and cause them to stumble in their Christian walk would be a wrong use of Christian liberty. Even though the action which caused the stumbling was not sinful in itself, it would become a sin against the Lord himself if it caused a weak member of the body of Christ to stumble. Look back once again at verse 12 of chapter 8. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. The example that Paul used in chapter 8, as we've seen, was the issue of eating meat that had been offered to idols. The meat itself was not contaminated in any way, and it was okay to eat this meat. But because some of the Corinthian Christians had a tender conscience about eating such meat, Paul says in the last verse of the chapter, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now here in chapter 9, Paul gives an illustration from his own life of this principle of giving up one's rights and restricting oneself in the interest of other believers, and for the sake of the Lord and the gospel. The particular issue here in chapter 9 is the matter of financial support for the Lord's servants and those involved in Christian ministry. Apparently, there were some antagonists at Corinth who were trying to undermine Paul's authority as an apostle by saying that Paul was not a true apostle because he was not being supported financially by the Corinthian church. Well, in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, chapter 9, Paul assures the Corinthians that he is a true apostle because he had seen the Lord, like the other apostles, verse 1, and he had led the Corinthians to the Lord, and he had founded the church at Corinth, verse 2. Paul now goes on to great lengths in this chapter to show that he had every right, as one of the Lord's servants, to receive financial remuneration for the work he was doing. But he purposely restricted himself and did not take advantage of this right when he labored at Corinth so that there would be no wrong ideas as to why he was in the ministry. Now, in this first half of the chapter, before he talks about his restrictions, Paul gives a number of reasons why it is not wrong for those involved in Christian ministry to receive financial remuneration for the services they render. And that leads us to our one doctrinal point for this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Believers involved in Christian ministry have the right to financial remuneration. Believers involved in Christian ministry have the right to financial remuneration. You know, this is not the easiest subject to talk about when you're involved in Christian ministry full-time yourself, because it could sound like you're begging for money and trying to put a guilt trip on those who are not giving. But this chapter is part of the Bible and should be studied and taught and obeyed as the word of the Lord. Notice how the Apostle Paul uses the word right several times in this chapter to emphasize that the financial support of Christian workers and those involved in Christian ministry is proper and according to divine pattern. Verse 4, do we have no right to eat and drink? That is, the right to receive remuneration that will pay for your basic needs. Verse 5, do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Financial support should be enough to pay for the traveling expenses of both husband and wife, if it's a married couple. You know, some Christian camps and conference centers need to read this verse. We see from this verse, by the way, that Peter and the rest of the apostles were married men, in spite of what some churches have taught to the contrary. The brothers of the Lord here would most likely be his half-brothers, such as James and Jude, who wrote books of Scripture, as you know. We also see from verse 5 that Paul was most likely not married. At least that seems to be the implication of this verse. Verse 6, or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Paul supported himself, and so did Barnabas. But Paul's point here is that they had the right to refrain from any secular employment and be supported by financial gifts. So you've noticed then a number of times in the passage thus far where Paul uses this word right in reference to the right of Christian workers to financial remuneration. In verse 7, Paul uses some obvious illustrations to prove his point. Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? A soldier doesn't pay the army, and neither should a Christian soldier have to pay his way when he's fighting the good fight full time. A vineyard keeper certainly has the right to eat some of the grapes. And a shepherd of a goat herd has the right to some of the goat's milk. In verses 8 through 10, Paul shows that financial support of the Lord's servants is a principle that is taught in the Old Testament law. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4 says, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." We see that this law was not given just to make sure that oxen got fed, but contained a biblical principle for the financial support of Christian workers. The logic of verse 11 is obvious. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? It's a divine law that when you sow, you will also reap. Paul and his team had sowed the spiritual things at Corinth. It was not wrong for them to reap material things. Others were doing this. Why not Paul and his fellow workers? Verse 12, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Another Old Testament argument is used in verse 13. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? The priests and Levites were supported by God's people in the Old Testament. Read Numbers chapter 18 in this connection. In the same way, The Lord's servants today should be supported by the Lord's people. Verse 14, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. The Lord himself said so in Matthew 10:10 and Luke 10:7 when he said, quote, the worker is worthy of his support, end of quote. Matthew 10:10 and Luke 10:7. So we see that the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 clearly teaches that the Lord's people should support the Lord's servants. In fact, it is a right of those involved in Christian ministry to be supported in the ministry. However, this right can always be given up by the Lord's servants. Paul gave up this right, as he explains in verse 12 and the rest of the chapter, as we'll see. But the right does remain. Believers involved in Christian ministry have the right to financial remuneration. Now, what about practical application from this first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Be an intelligent giver. Be an intelligent giver. Once we become convicted and convinced that we as the Lord's people have the responsibility and privilege to support the Lord's work and the Lord's workers, the questions which obviously come next are what work or what ministry and what workers? Well, that's easy to answer. Dr. Dave and Growing Christian Ministries, of course. Seriously speaking, how do you become an intelligent giver? There are many ministries and many full-time Christian servants of the Lord. How do you sort through all of this and give intelligently? Do you give to the ministries that send you the most letters? No, that is not the key to intelligent giving. Do you give to the ministries that send you something in return, like a book or a video? No, that is not the key to intelligent giving. Well, then, what is the key to become an intelligent giver? First of all, you pray and ask for God's guidance, and then you follow biblical principles of giving. There are a number of biblical principles for intelligent giving. Let me mention two. Give to ministries that have been a blessing in your own life, your church and other ministries. Give to ministries that have been a blessing in your own life. You know, this has been the standard operating procedure at Growing Christian Ministry since we started more than 30 years ago. That is, those who are blessed by the ministry will support the ministry, and no fundraising programs will be needed. Another biblical principle concerning intelligent giving we see in verse 14 here. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Notice I put the emphasis on gospel. In other words, there are a lot of good ministries, but be careful that you're not just giving to some social welfare project. Make sure the ministries you give to are seeking to bring people to the Lord and seeing them grow in the Lord. Be an intelligent giver.